All right, we had 12 weeks of discussing stewardship, Christian stewardship. The slide on the wall shows you the 12 lessons that we had. We started off with an introduction into stewardship, ended last Sunday with thinking about stewarding our skills. And I said we'd come back this Sunday and have a review time and a summary time. And you had a sheet like this last week. Also, I had Cheryl to send out this sheet again so that we could discuss our time together. Now, this could be this could be a very short session. Could be. Because I don't have a lesson for today. Now, the lessons ended last week, and I asked you to please come back this week and be ready to think about, talk out loud, discuss things, and we were going to use this sheet as sort of a jumping-off point to do that. So, you know, unless you have a lot to say this morning and to carry on, I'll try to carry on the discussion and the dialogue, but unless you have, that's why I'm sitting here, because I'm not standing down there with a, you know, with a specific lesson today. Before we jump into the review sheet, though, I did give you a homework assignment last week that was on the lesson stewarding our skills, and it was that little diagram on the second page where I said, you know, try to put aside a sense of false humility. We asked, the question we asked last week was, what has God made you good at? There are things that God has made you good at in terms of skills. And we did have a little assignment that said, can you think of some ways that are some specific skills that God has given to you and how that skill can bring glory to God and how you can be a good steward of that skill and how does this skill serve others? Did anybody get a chance just to fill out any of those blocks, and can you share them with us, please? I'll start with mine first, if that'll help. Maybe that'll prime the pump a little bit. So if I don't have a skill, at least I've got a desire, and I've had it for 40 years, and that's to give counsel to people, biblical counsel to people. That probably, if it is a skill, probably also bleeds over into gift. A gift of sharing the word of God. And so I just put that down in the box. And how does this skill bring glory to God? Well, it helps others to know God's truth, helps others to know that God's word is a lamp unto their feet and a light unto their path. It helps others to change and grow, helps men and women and young people to be God's kind of person, and that pleases God and brings glory to God. How can I be a good steward of this skill? I can continue to read articles and journals and books and go to conferences, like I'm signed up to go to the ACBC conference in the fall down in Memphis, Bartlett, Tennessee, where I can sit under teaching and be trained more and kind of hone that skill a little better. And how does this skill serve others? Well, hopefully it helps people to change and grow and to grow in Christ's likeness. So that was one that I put there. It was the only one that I put. But did someone else sort of fill in any of those blocks of some skills God's given you and how you could flesh those boxes out or fill those boxes out? Anyone? Lucy? Can we have a microphone to Lucy Baker? Thank you.
I didn't physically fill it out, but I was thinking a lot about the Lord has given me the ability and joy in cutting hair.
Cutting hair.
Is a way that I have been able to serve people. And in the last year and a half, I've really sought to, okay, the Lord's given me this ability. I need to get better at it. And so doing a lot more researching and tutorials and branching out in whose hair I'm cutting. And that's a way that I can serve people because it's something that everyone needs. And I can give them a free haircut.
Yeah. And how does this skill serve? It makes them more, it makes them prettier.
More presentable on more Sunday mornings. Okay,
so how do we make appointments? Tell you? Okay, all right, very good. Someone else? Monica in the back? We're only going to spend a few minutes doing this because I want to get onto this sheet.
By the way, in regards to the haircut, you spend a lot of time in front of another person, so I can see how that could be very beneficial to the gospel because you can't go anywhere. But as for me, I do designs, cards, encouragement via mail. However, I've noticed through my stewardship since I've moved, I haven't gotten the supplies that I have not done, and I have stopped doing the encouragement. And I think that's something that I should be focusing back onto is the encouragement through mail anonymously mm-hmm. or non-anonymously. I'm not very interactive with other people socially. So that is what God has given me to do outwardly. Even though I can't stewardship face-to-face, I could probably stewardship in other ways.
That's great. Remember that example that we said last week about the lady who had an abundant skills of hospitality. She had a stroke. She couldn't do that. And so Mark Dever asked at her funeral, when he was preaching her funeral, how many of you received a card? I can't remember her name. But how many of you received a card from this lady, Helen, maybe it was Helen, and hundreds of hands went up around the room because she had sent out, she had done what she could with the skill that she could do in terms of writing and giving those cards out. One more, and then we're going to go to our general sheet. Anyone else? Okay, good. Sally Motes.
I don't know if it's a skill or not, but I was a chaplain for 10 years with TWRA, and it encouraged me to be more diligent in studying scripture, and I was able to help counsel people that had gone, well, officers in particular, that had gone through traumatic events, and also during the flood down in, Waverly, I was able to minister to some people there. And as much as it seems like counseling others is to help encourage them through certain things, it was also a major blessing to me. So
Sally, how can you now be a good steward of that skill?
I think when others need help in certain areas or going through difficulties, I can use those skills to listen and to point them towards scripture that may be helpful. During the chaplain program, we were required to have at least, I think, 4 hours yep. of continuing mm-hmm. education mm-hmm. with, like, communication and different crisis response. And so whenever I hear of somebody that's going through difficulties, I try to reach out to them if it seems appropriate and listen to them and point them towards scripture and try to help whatever way I can.
Amen. Good. And so we saw, we talked about two ditches when it comes to our skills, whether we eat or drink or whatever we do, do all to the glory of God. There was a ditch over here of perfectionism, like being paralyzed to not do anything because I don't do it perfectly, or being paralyzed to not do things as often as I can or as I should because I can't do it perfectly. And that's rooted in often in just some not nice things. It could be rooted in pride, for example. And then there's a ditch over here of mediocrity. Am I saying that word right? Mediocrity? Just being a mediocre person, that's good enough. Rather than to the glory of God and doing what we do as unto the Lord, because it's the Lord that we serve. Well, let's go on to our review sheet week. And these questions are very broad. And let's let someone explain the difference between, very simply, the difference between stewardship and ownership and how that applies to us. So I want to take that one on with the microphone. Okay, David, difference between stewardship and ownership and how that applies to us.
So I would say that stewardship is something that is granted to us. It's not necessarily something that we have, but we want to foster, to take care of, to have it grow. So when you think of the parable of the talents, those were put into the stewardship of those individuals to make more of it, not just to kind of hold it. They were to foster it. We're putting stewardship over our children. We want to grow them. We want to enable them to be able to go out and do more. Where ownership more so is just, it's a possession. You're not necessarily doing something with something that you own. It's sometimes just kept closer to heart. But when we think about all the things, even the things of ownership, if we think of it from a standpoint, from that stewardship that, hey, God has given this to us, then it enables us to say, okay, well, if God has given this to me, how can I then take this and glorify the kingdom more? So when we're looking at how does that apply to us, and we see, well, we don't truly actually own anything. Mm-hmm. What we do have is because God's mercy upon us, we have these things. We can then turn it around, and so our house, we can use it for a place of inviting people over. We can host them. We can spin that love into them instead of just saying, all right, well, let me keep this close to myself. We have a truck, and anybody who has a truck says, oh, no, now I'm that automatic moving person. But you can use that in a form of stewardship towards your neighbors, your brothers and sisters. So.
Good. Anybody else want to put a little slight addition onto that? Hopefully it was one verse we used, maybe not in every lesson, but repeatedly in our lessons, 1 Corinthians 4:7, that hopefully is in our souls now. Can anyone quote 1 Corinthians 4:7? It was a question that, regarding stewardship and ownership, like.
What do you have that you did not receive?
Yep. And there's another follow-up question.
And if you received it, why do you boast, act like you don't?
Yeah, right. Why do you boast? Yeah, right. May the Holy Spirit embed that into our souls. What do you have? Whether it's a skill or a spiritual gift, intelligence, high IQ, a degree, certain abilities, breath itself, what do you have that you've not received from God? And if you've received it, why do you act like or boast or talk like or live like you haven't received it? Paul goes on to say, let him who boast in the Lord. So there ought to be boasting in our lives. It's okay, we have a green light to boast, but not about ourselves. Boast of the Lord. Good. How does the gospel change our view of stewardship? It just adds a whole new dimension in various ways. Now, let's see if you have some ways you think the gospel might change our view of stewardship. Lucy?
Nothing is ours truly. So we are stewards of literally everything in our life. Like, I became a business owner this year.
Mm-hmm.
But doing this class, I thought, well, in a sense, I'm not a business owner. I'm still a business steward. That's the same that I was when I was under a boss the last 4 years.
Yeah. Yeah, I had one person tell me 1 week that he had 3 lawnmowers. And then he came back the next week. He said, you know what? I don't have any lawnmowers. They're all the Lord's lawnmowers. Right, Glenn? You did say that, okay. Paul?
I mean, I think the very, what do you have that you haven't received, like that, our salvation.
Right.
The very root of that is the heart of the gospel. And like David said, ownership. We can feel like, oh, I own my salvation. I gained my salvation. I bought my salvation. But no, because of the gospel, it's been given to us as well. So just like everything we have has been given to us.
Mm-hmm. Someone else, how does the gospel change our view of stewardship? What does it add to it? Julie, Clement? We're going to get to the...
3 words, for God's glory.
Okay, for God's... We all do things for God's glory. Amen. Now we're reconciled to God. Before, we were his enemies. Nothing that we could do pleased him. You know, the plowing of the wicked is evil on the side of them. There's nothing we could do to please him in our unregenerate state. There's nothing we could rightfully use. We thought of things, we thought in terms of ownership rather than the privilege of knowing God and serving him, doing things for his glory, doing everything for his glory. And we couldn't do any of that. We couldn't even be a faithful steward. We were only rebellious enemies of God apart from the gospel. But God reconciles us to himself. He makes us new. Now we can serve the Lord with gladness. That was one of the first themes that we saw. And in fact, we said that was going to be the theme. And we looked at it for the first 2 or 3 lessons, and we sort of let it drop off. But the theme, we had a little guy sitting on a counter or something, and he was just happy and his big smile on his face. We said, we want that to be the theme of our stewardship class. And that's serving the Lord with gladness. Sally. Seth, you're getting your exercise this morning, getting some steps in.
I just wanted to add to that the warning that was spoken of in Scripture of the steward that hid the money and did nothing. And that should be a eye-opening warning mm-hmm. to all of us that if we don't use what we're given to God's glory, that it brings his wrath. And we should keep that in mind whenever we're doing anything or sitting on our hands doing nothing.
Monica?
Funny enough, I was thinking about the same thing that uh-huh. she was, that between stewardship and ownership.
Yep.
The fact that for those 3 people in that story, God gave them, what they needed.
Right.
All 3 of them, they gave, but 2 of them made something of them, the skills that they used to make it grow. Just as you were saying, it's like, what skills do you use? It's an ownership that God gave you that needed to be steward throughout for what they needed to be done. And just the sheer fact that the last person says, yeah, I'm not going to do anything with this. I'm just going to bury it. I'm going to hide it away. And when the master comes back, I'm just going to give it back to him. as if nothing happened. And a lot in life, I think that's what many of us do. It's like we're giving a great gift, and instead of doing anything with it, we just sit on it and do nothing and think, oh, we're fine, we're fine. But the other two are like, no, 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 I need to invest. I need to create. I need to make it bigger onto the Lord. And that's what the lesson, I think, really brings out, because I was just thinking, which one of these three am I? And have I been sitting on what God has given me?
Right. So it says the gospel changes everything. And it does. So obviously it changes our relationship with God and our responsibility, but our desire also to steward things well. Well, there again, we started off with an introduction to stewardship, faithful, what it means to be a faithful steward, how idolatry is the enemy of stewardship. We looked specifically at giving and spending, then debt and savings, materialism. Then we had two lessons on stewarding our time. One was stewarding our time. The other was stewarding our downtime, God's purpose for rest. Then we looked at God's purposes for health. For me, I said this when we did it, I thought for me, maybe not for you, but like one of the most impactful lessons was the lesson on stewarding poor health. That's when I was walking around with a cane and the walker and all that, and then stewarding our skills. So that fourth question, we're talking about money, time and rest, health, and skills. These are the four primary areas of stewardship we considered. Was one or more of these lessons more impactful to you, and why was that? Who can share with us about one of the lessons that might have been most helpful to you and why? Glenn Motes in the back.
And I had a conversation with Pastor Chris the other day about this too, so it's brought it back to mind. I think the stewardship of our time impacted me most.
Okay.
And it's something that I need to continually remember, and I think about more now than say I did 20 years ago, but time is something that you cannot get back once
right.
you use it. I mean, if you have money or skills, those things can be improved or gained upon, but you can't gain any more time. And so it just reminds me of missed opportunities in the past and things that I could have done differently to remind me to be very careful how I use my time, because time is short. I mean, there's Bible verses, Old and New Testament, that talk about how short our lifespan really is and how we need to redeem the time.
Yeah, yeah, I was thinking about that. Yeah. Redeeming the time, buying up the opportunities that God gives to us in time, because the days are evil. Thank you, Glenn. Someone else have one or more. Russell has one or more lessons that was more impactful, and we're asking not just what the lesson was, but why and how.
I would say the skills lesson is the one that impacted me the most.
Okay.
Huh?
Yeah, the last one we had.
Yeah.
You waited to the very end.
I did. Yeah.
To learn anything.
The others were good. But,
okay.
But you saved the best for last, at least for me. I feel like God's been convicting me over the past, I don't know, couple of years, reminding me that I should be exercising the other gifts he's given me as opposed to pining over the gifts that was taken away from me 6 years ago. Mm. And I have other gifts, and I have other gifts that are useful to the church. But I think I've been slow on the uptake to embrace those gifts. And part of that was, even before we started this class, was the Dots and Squiggles class. I felt like, you know, even though I've lost my ability to sing, I haven't lost my musical ability or the love for it and the love of helping impart that to other people. So that was kind of one step that I took even before the classes. But then the lesson on skills, it was encouraging to me to continue to kind of push forward and grow in those other areas of stewardship and the other skills that I have.
That is so good. That's really, really good to think about that, you know, massively valuable skill of singing that God gave to you and how you used that for so many years in a very productive way. And then we said that God's not only the one who gives us the skills that he gives us, he's the one who takes away skills that he doesn't give to us. You know, there's never ever any question in my mind after about the ninth or tenth grade that I was going to do something in the fields of mathematics or science or surgery or that kind of thing. It just wasn't there. And so he's the one who gives us the skills that we have, but he's also the one who doesn't give us the skills that we have, but he may be the one who takes away skills, but only to make us focus. I really like that. I mean, he took something away, but there's so much more that you can do in serving him and others. And he said you were kind of pining in those and hadn't really stepped up to take those, so very helpful.
Health is one of the big ones for me overall, and just thinking about how easy it is to get down during those times of poor health and why me, and just really start pining on those things. But then that coming back to realization is like, and I know I've talked to my wife about this sometimes when my knees have been real bad, it's like, but praise God that my knees do hurt because I still got knees. praise God that this is still this. And so just keeping in mind, but just even over the last several years, this idea of health and like being able to steward it properly allows, as I've gotten back into better health, has also allowed for me to help out others more, be able to even go out and shoot basketball with the youth a little bit and have more to do with them, be able to get mm-hmm. done with mm-hmm. more.
Amen.
And I think oftentimes we take for granted the health that God has given us. He tells us to be good stewards of the things of which we own and which we possess, and then we don't take care of the temple of which he's given us. Oftentimes we just let whatever happen to
That's
it.
That's right.
Lose focus on it. And then also the time and rest, when we were going through that, it made me think of David Bonson's book, Full Time and the Meaning of Life and Work, and basically how sometimes we take too much rest. He said that work and time is not a punishment. The first thing that God commanded a man was to work, and he gave man 6 days to work, and oftentimes we don't want to put forth that effort to do that, and we look at work almost as a sin, as a part of the curse.
Yeah.
And he pointed out it's not a part of the curse. It was the original intent of man from the very beginning when we were first created.
Okay. So. Work is harder because of the curse, but work is not the curse. We're asking, out of the four primary areas we considered, money, time, rest, health, skills, was there one of those lessons that was more impactful to you, and why and how? Amy?
Time and rest.
Time and rest?
Skills kind of overlap for
okay.
me. I can't remember your words exactly, but what I took away from one of the lessons was that just because we're given the skills to do a thing doesn't mean we have to do that thing. Like, I say yes too much is what I'm trying to get at. I fall in the other ditch of not resting enough or assuming that just because somebody asks me to do something, I should say yes before I consider what it is, and I end up with way too many things in a week or a weekend, and I find myself not doing any of them as well as I should because I've taken on too much. So I don't steward my time well, I guess, is what it comes down to.
Very interesting. Thank you. It's good. Anyone else? All right. So all throughout every lesson, We were trying to base everything in Scripture, so there's a lot of verses. There were a lot of verses on the slides. Think about 1 Corinthians 4:7, 1 Corinthians 10:31, one about redeeming the time, all those things. So relate how any Bible verses or passages stood out to you during the class. Anything that anyone would share about that, of how God really used a specific verse or passage in Scripture going through this, these lessons? One. All right, Nick, thank you. Wait for the microphone, please. Come on in there, Nick.
I would just say, repeat the 1 Corinthians 4:7.
Yep.
Because you can apply that to every single aspect of this. Mm-hmm. And it's very humbling when you think that everything is a gift from God.
Yeah,
and how you use it is really, it requires a strong faith in God to steward it correctly. And I just think that verse really puts it into perspective for me.
Okay.
When I start thinking about just all the different categories of what we just talked about, money, time, health, skills, and when you have pride, can definitely get in the way, and this is a good verse for that.
Yeah,
to really be humbling and bring you back down to where you are.
Amen. Nick said it takes strong faith in God to be a steward. I think it's a good point. That was one of the main points in the first couple of lessons, is what was the attitude of the stewards that God called good and faithful towards the master versus what was the attitude of the servant that the master called wicked and slothful. And the attitude of those servants that God commended, or the master commended, as being good and faithful, their attitude was, what you've given me is yours in the first place. You're worthy, this is all faith, you're worthy of my glad service to that, not my grumbling service to that. You're worthy that I expand it and make it bigger, because if it's bigger, then it's more glorifying and glorious to you. And we trust, we have faith that you're a good master, and that you're going to do right by us in recognizing our work and in giving us more things to do, versus the attitude of the other servant. I think you're a hard taskmaster. That's Pharaoh. That's not Christ. I think you're a hard taskmaster. I think you take things that don't belong to you when everything does belong to you. And his attitude was not one of faith in the goodness and the worthiness of the master, but low, mean view. By mean, I don't mean angry. I mean like small views of the master. So it does take faith. You're right, it does take faith. But it takes faith in a God who is good and a God who is gracious and our God who is worthy. So compels and fuels our faithful stewardship to him, our faith in him, who he is, what he deserves, what he'll reward us with. It's good. Another verse. Anybody else? We won't. Okay, Paul.
In the skills lesson, I liked your point. Underneath your skills are stewardship to pursue excellence.
Mm-hmm.
And so the first scripture reference was one kind of that I always think of, Colossians 3:23. Whatever you do, work heartily as for the Lord, not for men. that's kind of the go-to verse for that. But then you also reference 2 Corinthians 5:9, which says, so whether we are at home or away, we make it our aim to please him, mm-hmm. meaning Christ. Mm-hmm. And so that was helpful to me. Like, we're not just working, pursuing excellence, you know, just as a general thing. But it's like when we think of, okay, excellence is pleasing to God.
Yeah.
It is pleasing to Amen. Christ.
Serving the king, right?
Yeah.
Honors him, serving the king, pleasing him. Okay, Sally in the back.
I don't know that this was brought up during the lessons, but in Proverbs 22, it says, a good name is rather to be chosen than great riches, and loving favor rather than silver and gold. The rich and the poor meet together. The Lord is the maker of them all. And the two stewards that did well, they were given a good name mm-hmm. because they did well. Mm-hmm. And when we steward well what we're given, then there is a reputation that mm-hmm. is built on that. Mm-hmm. And when you ask for an electrician, people will point to Russell. If you look for somebody that is good with building decks or mowing lawns, Wayne and Glenn. Mm-hmm. And it's that good name
yep.
that the Lord gives. It's not necessarily because they go out and say, hey, I'm good at this. It's because of the skills and the integrity that they have put forth that shows what good they are.
Mm-hmm.
And it just kind of stood out to
yeah,
me.
What was that reference again, Sally?
It's Proverbs 22, verses 1 and 2.
Okay. You just answered one of the last questions, what can make this class better by making sure that's in the lesson. That's good. Let's go on.
Since I have the microphone.
Yeah, since you have the microphone, good.
I had something I was thinking about, I might forget. So this is an observation and really a question too. Maybe somebody can answer this. So when thinking about the Apostle Paul in regards to stewardship, you know, he said God had given him a stewardship of the gospel and that, you know, he had been given special revelation and special ability, and he felt like he was a steward of the gospel, and he was a faithful steward to preach that as much as he could. How much are we as individual Christians being given that same stewardship of the gospel? I mean, are we different in some way than Paul because he was a chosen apostle? So I just had that question. Is that part of our stewardship as well? Maybe you could answer that.
Well, yeah, we don't, not in the way the Apostle Paul was given. That's a good distinction that you make, because he was an apostle and we aren't, and no one else in the world is today. So he did have a unique stewardship as an apostle, and he talked about the stewardship of the gospel. Yeah, I think we do have a stewardship of the gospel. One, we have the stewardship of the gospel to believe it. We have a stewardship of the gospel to know it. We have a stewardship of the gospel to present it well in an accurate kind of way. We have a stewardship of the gospel, if nothing else, to pray for the Lord of the harvest, to send forth laborers into the harvest because the crop is ready to be harvested. We have a stewardship of the gospel in sharing it with others. So not in the sense of an apostle, no way, of course not, but in just in basic ways. Another way that scripture talks about us being stewards of the manifold grace of God, the varied grace of God in our lives. So we are stewards of our skills and our time and our health, but also we are to be stewards of the grace of God in our lives. I'd say you can't be a very faithful steward of the grace of God in forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as is a habit of some. Couldn't be a very faithful steward of the grace of God if you are not consistently giving yourself time in the Word and in prayer, if you're avoiding fellowship with others, right? So if we're not using, by God's help, the means of grace, then how can we be very good stewards of the varied grace of God in our lives? Well, yeah, I think that if anyone wants to add to that, feel free. Our time is marching on, so how has God used this class on stewardship to change and grow you? Kind of a personal testimony of yours. We'll take three if there are any three that want to share. How has God used this class on stewardship to change and grow you? Is that kind of a repeat, really, of just different emphasis? Okay, Sally?
It has made me think more diligently about being a steward and what that means and my duty to be a good steward.
Okay.
Because it's to be pleasing to God. Amen. And not men. And I think that's what we have to look at, is it's a duty to be a good steward.
Okay. Excellent. Okay.
Right. We talk about practical application and what that looks like. And going through this class, it's presenting a practical application.
Good. Praise God.
Very self-examination, looking in the mirror.
It's a good thing, a healthy thing to do, especially looking in the mirror of the Word of God. Okay, Lucy again.
God is sovereign. This class was good timing. In at the beginning, you talking about we are stewards, we are not owners. Everything has been given to us, so God can take it back at any time. And looking at, okay, I started a business right before this that depleted money quite a lot. Well, it's not my money. Then the Lord took my vehicle from me unexpectedly. Well, it's not my vehicle, and He can take it at any time. That took a whole lot more money to get a new vehicle. Now I have to save up a whole even more money than I was thinking to replace all of that. But I feel like I've had, even though those are kind of big and scary things, my mindset was calmer going through all of it, just staying in the mindset of, I am a steward, God has every right to this, and Lord willing, He will give me another vehicle to steward or more money to steward, and I need to steward my savings well right now and not just spend it on whatever I want. So
that's great, Lucy. You're a young woman, and God's planted these lessons into your heart at a young age, so many, many years, Lord willing, of good and faithful stewardship. All right, the last question is, and feel free to answer this in public, but if you're not comfortable answering in public, then please tell me in private, but I'll take it any way you want to give it. But what could have made the class better? Anybody want to relate to that? Someone else teaching it? Starters? Snacks! Snacks! I wasn't thinking about that, but that's good. Snacks. Deacon Pete wouldn't like that in the auditorium. But I did see Pastor Justin taking a cup of coffee down to the classroom for the church history class this morning. So that's pretty fun. You can take coffee down there in his cup. No, seriously, anything else? Our time is up. But I really do want to drop me a line, drop me an email, drop me a text, come talk to me. And if there's anything you want to put in the suggestion box, please do. Yes.
most of my regrets and my biggest regrets have to do with words. And the fact that once I speak words, they can never be unspoken.
Yeah.
And thinking of the hurt and the blessing that can come through words, I was just thinking the whole time it would be good to have a lesson on just, obviously it's a 12-part series, so you can't, it's hard to add lessons.
Yeah.
But just the idea that we're stewards of our words. Stewards of our
words, good. Yeah, all right. Good. Maybe we could, like, incorporate, you know, stewarding our health and our poor health, and let that be one lesson. I don't know, but we'll see. All right, let me pray. All right. Lord, you are our master, and you are good, and you love us. And by your grace, we love you, and we want to honor you and please you. And Lord, we are keenly feel how we just fail at that and don't live up to all the responsibilities and the duties and the love that you are worth. And oh, dear God, for that we just ask for your pardon and forgiveness and patience. But then we ask, help us to be good and faithful stewards to you for your glory. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, we'll be dismissed. Time for coffee.